Finding life a bit complex? Confusing? Aware that your old strategies aren't working? Why not ask Pam and Marilyn? This is the Irreverent Therapists, and we're here to add some clarity, humor, and a bit of what might be considered blasphemy to your day.
Everyone, and welcome. I'm Marilyn Bradford, and I'm joined by Pam Hodling, and we are the Rocking Irreverent Therapists.
Hi, everybody.
and rocking
this week. That's awesome.
You like what?
That we're rocking.
We are rocking. We are totally rocking. And before we get on our topic, I just have to announce a random piece of information that I just found on the web. I think it was on the Smithsonian. I get there. Smithsonian magazine. But, they've actually done the study and found that cat owners have higher IQs than dog owners. I'm sorry, but that's my
yeah.
That's my random piece of information for the day. I have no idea why that cracks me up, but it does. Okay, so anyway.
You love cats.
Yeah, I love cats. I totally love cats. Our show today, as we're entering into the holidays, is called The Ghost of Christmas Past. This could also be actually The Ghost of Hanukkah Past or, whatever it is you're celebrating. Do your previous holiday gatherings leave you dreading what might happen this year? Are you concerned about getting engulfed in another family trauma drama with a designated part you are supposed to play? What if you could stand back from all of the obligations and old roles and take a totally different approach to the holidays? What if you could actually choose what would work for you? Join us, the Irreverent Therapists, for the tips and tricks for creating a totally different holiday season. Yippee!
I think everybody needs a totally different holiday season.
I think everybody needs a totally different holiday season, too. And it's really interesting for me to notice going into the holidays, even though, I essentially don't have the pressures that a lot of people do. I have my very elderly mother, and that's basically it. I don't have family. I don't have kids. I don't have all of that. And occasionally I'm like, oh, we could have, the whole gathering on the tree and we could sing. And I just finished watching the last episode of Downton Abbey when they're all having Christmas and singing all these songs. But it's really worth, I think, standing back and taking a look at what they are and what they mean to you. And that's going to be different for each person. But it's so easy to get swept along with it. And one of the things I was thinking about, Pam, when I was thinking about this show, was a book that Gary Douglas wrote called The Utopian Ideals. And it's everywhere we go into for instance, all people are good, basically. If you just look under their evil deeds, you'll find they're good. That's a utopian ideals. That's a belief system that actually prevents you from seeing what is. Another one would be something like, we can all just quit fighting and pray for peace and it would happen, a kind of a kumbaya. And it's not, I don't mean to be making fun of these things. It's much more about if you don't realize you're operating in a utopian ideal, you're going to get blindsided by all those people who are choosing to be nasty or mean, or by the fact that many people don't want peace. They want to continue fighting. But this is not exactly the tangent that the first comment was. This is more about how many of you have made the holiday season a kind of a utopian ideal. This is when the family will get together and we'll all love ourselves and all the insanity and abuse and addiction and unfeelingness and unkindness will go away and we'll all just be so happy and everything will be great. And then it doesn't happen and you blame yourself.
Yeah. Well, I just wouldn't, when you're saying utopian ideal, what it makes me think of is all the ifs, if only, whatever it is, if only my parents weren't drinking, if only my brother or so, like whoever it is in your family that you have issues with, like all the things where you keep expecting that finally it'll be different and it never is.
Right.
And you blame yourself. So would that be what you're talking about of the utopian ideal?
Yeah, absolutely. It's believing something that contradicts what is.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's we'll just sort of take a section out of that. If only my parents weren't drinking. If your parents are truly committed to drinking, they don't have a reason to stop.
Yeah.
And Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is not going to be that reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, whatever the religion is that you have or whatever your family tradition at this time of year, it's like layer after layer after layer of utopian ideal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because there's the whole family dynamic part of it, and then there's whatever the religious belief is, and there's, you know, you'll know what I'm talking about with this. For about 3 years in a row, I was in Australia in early to mid-December leading up to Christmas.
Right.
And what I remember was there was nothing. Like, there would, you go in a shop and there might be like one little like 2-foot tree and maybe sometimes some Christmas carols playing. And it was such a relief.
Yes. Yes. I absolutely. I mean, we were staying in one of the premier hotels in Mooloolaba, and they had a 5-foot artificial silver tree with a few blue balls on it. And I'm like, oh, that's it? That's it for Christmas? I mean, can you imagine if you were staying at the Ritz or even a really nice, you know, I don't know, Hyatt or whatever.
Anywhere in the U.S.
Anywhere in the U.S. Even, you know, Days Inn or
– yeah.
Yeah, it would be over the top. And we do get over the top in America. And I think it's very difficult. I think it creates potentially a great deal of difficulty for people that instead of even acknowledging it, they go, oh, God, it's Christmas. Okay, I need to do blank, blank, blank. So there's the utopian ideal that we were just talking about, all the belief systems you have that maybe this could be better. But there's also this sense of obligation with no choice, this sense of, particularly with family, I have to blank, blank, blank. And mostly, I mean, with all the clients I've had over the years, a lot of it has just been, I'm going to grit my teeth and get through it.
Well, it's like right before this, Marilyn and I were just talking, and we're both part of a group that's getting together for lunch on Sunday, and they're going to have it be a gift exchange. And we're both like, really? Do we have to do that? But, you know, I don't know about you, Marilyn, but for me, like all the, like here in the U.S. where it's just constantly in your face, like whatever utopian ideals you are buying into around the holidays, it's like then everywhere you go, it's being reinforced or blasted in your face of, you know, hey, it's supposed to be like this. Hey, it's, you know, you're supposed to be happy. Hey, you're so, you know, and then it's like there's so many people running around that what is for them isn't the utopian ideal. And then what that creates for them is just a total sense of wrongness.
Yes, wrongness and judgment. So everywhere you've judged yourself as being wrong, inadequate, unable to change things, a total failure and loser because of the way your particular family celebrates and has celebrated the holidays, ghost of Christmas or whatever past, would you please destroy and uncreate that times a godzillion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right and wrong, good and bad, podpock, all nine Schwartz boys and beyonds.
Thank you, Pam, for podpocking. That's the Access Conscious Clearing Statement. And if you would like to know more about it, you can go to theclearingstatement.com. But basically what we would like to do with this show is to help you see that the Christmas, the holidays, the Hanukkah, the whatever this year does not have to be like the one in the past. Now, does that mean that your parents are going to quit drinking or yelling at each other, or Uncle Sam's going to quit making an ass of himself? No, it doesn't mean that, because that will probably
really
go on.
Please, 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 no.
We can't change other people, but what we can do is change ourselves and our reaction. Okay, we don't have to go into reaction, and to create more space and choice and possibilities for the season for you.
Well, that sounds much better than what most people do at this time.
I know. They're like, well, of course, we have to cook the dinner, or we have to go to these 17 parties, because if we don't, we'll be bad people, and it's good for business. And, you know, the office party where people put their butts on the cop ear and then regret later.
I have to say, I never worked somewhere where people did.
No, I never did either, but I've certainly heard enough stories about it. But the interesting thing is, and this is just one way to approach it, we're getting close to a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about other ways. But I have talked to so many people this year who are like, I'm just not going home. I'm just not doing it. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And for them, it doesn't even matter what else they – what are you going to do? I don't care. I'm going to stay home, or I'm going to – now, on Thanksgiving, a friend of mine came over and we did some of the excess body processes, and then we had dinner at a restaurant, which was awesome. It was just wonderful. But a lot of that was about – it wasn't about resistance and reaction. It was simply about, you know, not traveling on that day. But this is actually in resistance and reaction. It's almost like either I go to my family and die, basically.
Yeah.
Or I decide that I'm not going to have anything to do with them and I'm going to stay away. And but, you know, we've talked about that sort of dichotomy before. It's not really asking about what else is possible. It's going to a conclusion that you either have to go and indulge in all of it and lose yourself, or you have to choose something. And in that note, we're going to come back in just a minute and talk about more possibilities.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, sea-edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Marilyn Bradford, and joining me is Pam Hodling, and we are sort of dissecting the holiday season here, and hopefully going to give you some tips and things that will make it a little bit easier for you. And yep. One thing I was thinking about over the break, Pam, is that how, you know, you may be 45, 50, 32, whatever it is, and you're successful in what you do. You have a family, or you have a budding career, whatever, and you go home and all of a sudden you're 7.
No. I'm sure no one listening has ever experienced anything like that, Marilyn.
So one of the things I want to talk about here is, what does it take for you to not actually get sucked back into the vortex of how do I say this? What age your family has decided that you are.
Well, and I would add on to that, it's like the age they've decided you are, and like the box that, you know, everything they're projecting at you of who they think you are, and, you know, you're the one who's always blah, blah, blah. And it's like you walk in the door and go right back into all that rather than being you.
Exactly. I mean, I think about my mother saying to me, I can't remember where we were, some dinner or something, and I had an artichoke. She said, "You don't like artichokes." I said, "I changed that when I was 7, Mom." But in her mind, I didn't like artichokes. And
right.
It's so,
and it's been a while since you've been 7.
Thank you for that, Pam. Yes, it has been a while since I've been 7. But if you're willing to first take a look at the box you've been put in, who does my family think I am and how do they treat me? And if you can do that, if you can begin to do that without reacting, without going into resistance and reaction of, how could they still do that? How could she still think I like artichokes? How could she still, you know, put forth that I'm this incompetent, dizzy, unorganized being when I'm running a company and have 3 children, you know, but we just almost automatically go back into that role. I want to make a little comment here, which is that I remember talking with a client who's like, it was similar thing. I don't get this. You know, I run this amazing business, and in my business, I never revert to being 6 or 8 or 12. But the minute I run into my family, I'm like caught in this web of being their child again and all their projections and expectations. Okay, so right now, can we clear all the projections, expectations, rejection, separation, judgments, conclusions that you have bought as to who you are with your family?
Oh, yes.
Awesome, right, wrong, good, bad, pock, puddle, and shorts, boys and beyonds. But the point here was that when you, and what I said to this person is, you created this business in your 20s. So you didn't have the baggage of your childhood. One of the things that can make the holidays or going home to a family, if it's dysfunctional, so difficult, is that you were born into the baggage. And it's very difficult to see you when you're in the context of them without all of that baggage. Mm-hmm. So
let's give them some tools to get beyond that,
well,
Marilyn.
I just gave them one.
I know, yeah. And so what Marilyn did was the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement. And you cleared all the, I'm going to say it slowly, projections, expectations, separations, judgments, and rejections. And you can fill in about anything with that. It's a great tool to use.
So what other tools do you like, Pam, for getting through family stuff?
Oh, my God. There's so many, and they're so effective.
They are really effective. It's awesome.
But, actually, so my brain's going like 20 different places at once. So let me say one other thing and then come back to that. It's like because to me, there's what we're talking about of like all the family baggage and the role the family's expecting you to be in, and we kind of fall back into that. It's almost like for me, tied right up in that is what we were talking about before of the utopian ideals. And it's like if you're buying the utopian ideals, the idea that, well, you know, if only I could find the, you know, the right way of being, my family will be mm-hmm. that family I've always wanted them to be or thought they could be, you know, that we can fit in with the idea of what's supposed to be about the holidays and how we should be with each other. And so to me, like the two really interweave. And I think for me, part of the where people go back into the old roles with their family is coming from that trying to like fit in so that that utopian ideal can come true.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. So I think, you know, one thing is to use the clearing statement on everything you've bought about utopian ideal of family. And, you know, so what would that look like? Well, it could be, okay, everywhere I'm trying to make my family be the ideal family, or, you know, me fit in with my family, or, you know, it's like anything, whatever it is for you that comes up when you think about your family, you just say, everything that is, destroy and uncreate it times a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pod, pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. Because when you don't have the points of view that there's something you have to fit into or be like or make happen, then there's more space to be you.
Yes. And one of the things I want to bring up is most of us avoid this. Most of us avoid seeing what actually is because we think it's too painful. And the alternative that's less painful is to pretend that everything's okay. But actually, in the end, that's more painful. Yeah. Because not being you, denying who you are, denying what's actually true for you, creates more discord in your life than being who you really are and taking the consequences. Now, a lot of people interpret being who they really are, once again, as resistance and reaction. You can't treat me that way. You know, I'm not seven. I run a company. That's not actually very helpful. Mm-hmm. But being who you are may be just the sense of never losing sight of the fact that you're not that seven-year-old and you do run a company. And even if your parents can't accept that or won't, it doesn't mean that you can't still be that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think it might be helpful if we talk about resistance and reaction and alignment and agreement mm-hmm. and then what else is possible. Because I think especially at this time of year, it's like, you know, what we tend to do is either align and agree. Okay, I'm buying what my family thinks I should be, or I'm buying into the utopian ideal of family and holiday, whatever it is, means you're going along with it. Resisting and reacting is, you know, we tend to think of that as I'm going my own way. I'm not going to be at the mercy of this. But it's actually, it's like two sides of the same coin. If you're aligning and agreeing or resisting and reacting, both ways you're reinforcing and making more real whatever that point of view is. So if it's, you know, if your family thinks you're, you know, a total flake and you can't do anything right, even though you run a, you know, $2 billion company,
right.
You know, aligning and agreeing is, you know, you walk in the door, oh, they're so right, I'm no good, I never do anything right. Resisting and reacting is that, you know, I'm going to show them, I'm going to, you know, be me no matter what. What's the other option? Well, it's what we call allowance. And allowance is you're aware of them and where they're functioning from, their points of view, but you don't have to be the effect of it.
Right. That's the crucial thing. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to be the effect.
Don't have to be the effect of it. And it actually takes takes a lot of energy to resist and react. It actually takes a lot of energy to align and agree. Allowance actually doesn't take a lot of effort.
I know. It's amazing.
It's really easy. And so when you asked earlier, like, you know, what tools do I use, you know, or recommend for all of this time of year, it's all the things that help you be in allowance. So you're aware of what is, you're not buying the ideal, you're not jumping back into your old stuff, but you can just see it for what it is with no point of view about it.
Well, right. And a tool that goes with that is interesting point of view. Wow, interesting point of view. My sister's showing up and screaming at her children again. Interesting point of view. My mother and dad are fighting again. Interesting point of view. They're looking to me to solve everything or making me the scapegoat. Wow, that's truly amazing. And this is going to sound a little odd, but if you're having trouble with this, with interesting point of view, with allowance, it's helpful to think of your family as if they were in a zoo and you're standing outside the cage watching. I mean, that may seem a little harsh.
I think it's brilliant.
I think I've had given that tool to a lot of clients and it's been very helpful to them. And it doesn't mean you don't care that one gorilla is, you know, attacking another gorilla, but it's not your life.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, one of the biggest mistakes I think people make is thinking that their family is their life. Your family's not your life. I mean, you could make it that, but if you're going to do that, you should be very, 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 very aware of what you're doing, because it's not like, how can I say this? It's much more like stepping in, for most of us anyway, for stepping into a soap opera on TV, somebody else's reality, than actually creating your life and what it would like you to be like. And the cool thing about that is, if you're in allowance, if you're an interesting point of view, it means that you don't have to cut them off. People are like, I can't cut off my family. I can't just not see them. I'm like, nobody's suggesting that. Mm-hmm. It's the attitude or the willingness to be you no matter what, and then the willingness to be an allowance and to be an interesting point of view no matter what they're doing. And on that note, we are about to go to another break, and we will be back with more of essentially the insane soap opera of the holidays that many people experience and what you can do with it.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm Marilyn Bradford, and joined by Pam Hoetling, and we're discussing the holidays and how to make them a little bit easier for you. And one of the things that I'd like to say is it's really crucial before you get into it, if you have any kind of dysfunctional family, which many of us do, is to sit down and look at what actually works for you with your family and what doesn't work. Does it work for you to go for the 10 days you're supposed to go, or even the 5 days you're supposed to go? Or would it actually work for you to go for maybe 3 days? Does it work for you to stay with the family? Or would it work for you to stay at a hotel? Are you willing to actually trust yourself enough to know that if things start looking really funky, you're willing to come up with something? I'm sorry, I don't feel well. My boss called me. I need to leave today. That kind of thing.
So do you mean that you don't have to do it the way you have every other year, and you could actually have choice?
Yeah.
And do what works for you rather than going along with what everybody else wants?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. But the difficulty is, if you don't know what's going to work for you and what's not going to work for you, and you're in something that's been in place your entire life, you're going to get swept away. It's going to be really difficult for you in the midst of it to do anything other than resistance and reaction. And what we're talking about is creating a plan ahead of time that's not about resistance and reaction, but about knowing this works for me, this doesn't work for me.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And people, you know, I've talked to a lot of clients over the years, and sometimes they're just appalled. It's like, my mother would never put up with me staying at the hotel. Okay, so what can you do? Let's see. I'm allergic to dogs. This is the time to lie. I'm sorry, but the holidays are an awesome season to lie.
Well, you know what I keep coming back to? I loved what you said right at the end of the last segment about soap opera.
Uh-huh.
Because I think for so many people, going home at the holidays is walking into a soap opera.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what's a soap opera? Well, you know, from what I remember when I watched them as a young adult, it was, you know, everything's overblown. Like, you know, the tragedies are so tragic.
Right. I wish that I have one hand on my forehead and the other going, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. And nothing ever works out. It might work out temporarily, but then it goes tanks and goes downhill again. And it's like, you know, but you can watch a soap opera. And what I remember in college is my friends and I, we would just laugh at it. We had such a good time watching soap operas because we didn't make it real and we didn't take it seriously and we didn't make it significant.
Yes.
Right. And what we do with our families at the holidays is we make it all so real and so significant. You know, here I have to go back and they're always this way and I always do this. And, you know, it's like, you know, when you were talking before about standing back and observing it, it's like if you really could look at your family as a soap opera and who's the star?
Who's the star,
who's
right?
The apple of distress and who's the villain? And, you know, and I think anything that helps you remove the significance, you know, what we talked about before with utopian ideals and using the clearing statement, you know, using that clearing statement helps kind of offload the baggage mm-hmm. that you have around whatever it is that you're clearing, and helps you to be present in the moment without the significance.
Yes.
So, 'cause if there's no significance, then do you really care that Aunt Mary is criticizing you again? Or can you go, wow, you know, she's like that evil witch lady in the soap opera.
Right, exactly.
And you don't have a point of view about it because you're just observing what is rather than being the effect of it.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to remember is one of the things that I'm aware of that so many of my clients say is, but that's so mean, I'll hurt their feelings, I'll do this. You know, anytime anyone is engaging in truly dysfunctional behavior and denying themselves, denying who they are, denying what's true, that's actually more harmful than shining the light on it. Now, that doesn't mean we're not talking about you telling them, you know, you really are dysfunctional. And if you would just look at the fact that you and Dad argue or are drinking too much or that Uncle Sammy's sleazy or that everybody hates everybody, we'd all be better off. That's not a good approach. But being you is actually showing people that there's another possibility that they can then choose. So far from being harmful or wrong or anything like that, actually showing up as you and being very clear on what's going to work for you and what's not going to work for you without going into anybody else's wrong or how could you, or that's actually creating a possibility for other people in your life to choose that if they're interested in that.
Well, that, and if you're continually boxing yourself up and cutting yourself off and trying to fit in and be what they want and, you know, hating every moment of it and resisting and reacting to it, you know, at some point you're going to go no more. Mm-hmm. And you know, and cut them off in a way that is, you know, dramatic and, you know, it, like, not particularly a contribution to
right. You.
Right. Whereas if you're willing to go in there and engage with them from the space of what works for me, what am I aware of here, what questions can I ask that could create something different, and not, you know, and it's like that is truly the only possibility of finding a way of being with those people that you can tolerate and be you and keep going back, because
right. It's
not going back to the crap. It's choosing to set your own terms for your interactions with them.
Right, exactly. And you can do it in a very nice way. You know, I would love to stay for New Year's, but it really doesn't work for me to stay. So there's two ways to do this. Once again, we talked about lying. I'm sorry, I have to get back for work, blah, blah, blah. But also just you don't actually owe them an explanation. And that's the thing that I think people get so hung up on. I can't leave without an excuse. I can't tell them I'm not going to do this without an excuse. Mm-hmm. Well, and you can, actually.
You can. And that's where I love. I mean, Marilyn and I both use this all the time. What works for me and what doesn't work for me. So if you say to someone, oh, you know, I can't stay because I've got all this work and blah, 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 whether that's true or not, it's like then they can start to fight you on those points.
Right.
And they can say, you know, they can come up with all the reasons why they can help you and you can get around the fact that you have all this work or whatever it is. If you say, you know, I'm sorry, it just doesn't work for me. There is, first of all, there's no judgment in that.
Right.
And there's nothing they can fight. There's
right.
nothing they can argue with. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
You know, or this is what works for me. Hey, you know, if we do it this way, that works for me. It's like there's nowhere for someone to go when they're so used to using whatever you say to manipulate you into getting what they want.
Right.
You can't
exactly.
manipulate. It doesn't work for me.
No, you really can't. And particularly if you just pour on that this has been so wonderful, or I'm so grateful that we've had this time, but staying longer doesn't work for me. It makes it very difficult for people to argue. You don't want to set up a situation. One of the things resistance and reaction does is it hooks you two together like fighting for all eternity. But the sort of interesting point of view, there's nothing for people to hook on. They can't hook if you're not in some kind of excited emotional state. So, yeah. So anyway.
Well, and then another biggie for surviving any sort of family. I love how I say surviving.
Right, that's interesting.
Family encounters.
Right.
And we do get that not all families are like this, but, you know, there's plenty of people for whom getting together with their families is not ease, joy, and glory. So that's what we're speaking
that's
to.
That's what we're speaking to.
But, you know, one of the things we talk about with access consciousness is who does this belong to? It's like we are all aware of so much energetically that's going on around us. So, you know, have you ever been having a great day and you either walk into your office or you walk into your house and you know the moment you set foot in the door, something's up and people are upset and something's going on before you even talk to anyone or see anyone? That's you being aware of the energy of where everybody else is functioning from. And so, you know, this time of year, right, as soon as the holidays hit, you know, how many people are stressed? How many people are agonizing over, you know, their families and what isn't working about their families and having to do the holidays and they really don't want to do this, and whatever it is? It's like, how much are you aware of that and picking up on that energy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the tool is just asking yourself, who does this belong to? Because it's like you might walk in the door for whatever family dinner it is that you're going to and suddenly go, ugh. So who does this belong to? Is it mine or somebody else's?
How many other people in that family are also going, bleh?
Because what happens is like you can spend a whole lot of time trying to deal with your feelings and your emotions and how you are with your family. Well, if all of it isn't yours and you're just aware of somebody else's stuff, you can try and work on it all you want. It's not going to go away.
Right.
But if you go, who does this belong to? And it lightens up, you know, at least some of it isn't yours and you can just return it to sender. It's like energetically you're sending it back, and it can create huge amounts of space and ease for you in any situation.
Yeah, that's an awesome tool, that who does it belong to, because frankly a lot of your most of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions aren't even yours. They actually belong to other people, and you pick them up because you're one psychic Momo. So anyway, we're going to another break and we will be back with more in the holiday season.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
If you've ever said I do, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life. Then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey, it's Marilyn Bradford back with Pam Hodling talking about some of the insanity of the holidays. And one thing that we haven't really talked about is kids. My sense has always been that the holidays are about the kids. Once again, we are not suggesting that you go into a hole and don't do anything for the holidays. What we are suggesting is that before you get involved, you look at what works for you and what doesn't, and you use some of the tools like interesting point of view, or who does that belong to, or what am I making significant that I don't need to make significant. But I think holidays are actually awesome for kids. I think it's a time for them of excitement and what else is possible. And I know some people think, well, you know, I'm going to take my kid down to the Salvation Army and help them, you know, have them help feed people and all that. And that's kind of cool stuff too. But I think you want to look at, if you have kids or there are kids involved in your family, what kind of a holiday do you actually desire to create for them? Mm-hmm. And one of the things I remember is I had a client a few years ago who was like, I think she called me in November. She's like, I'm dreading the holidays. We do the same thing every day. My kids hate it, or every year. My kids hate it. I don't know what to do. These are the traditions. How do I stop? I said, what if you sat down with your kids and planned the holiday you all would really like to have? Ask them what they want. Mm-hmm. She was like, I can do that. I'm like, absolutely. You don't even need – they were more or less Christian. You don't even need to celebrate it on Christmas Day. You can celebrate it on the 23rd or the 28th or whenever you want. You can do a totally different thing with presents. You don't have to stay home and have the tree. And it's interesting because they ended up going on a trip. The three of them. Yeah, there was the mom and, you know, she was divorced, but the mom and the daughter and the son, they really went, I can't even remember where they went now, but they went on this trip and she said later, she called me in January, she said, this is the best Christmas I ever had.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I have a friend and she said just this year, like she and her kids, and I mean, her kids are like high school and college and out of college. And but they and their extended family, they all talked about it. And what they're doing is each person gets one $50 present and you pick a name out of the hat and you're getting that person a present. And she's like, it just took all the ugh. Out of
awesome. Yes.
It's just yes. Like, but it, when you were talking, what it makes me realize is, you know, ever since Warren and I split up 2.5 years ago, we do a lot of checking in with our kids and asking them about, you know, well, what would you like this to be this year? And we do that. We do that with the holidays. Like, you know, right now in their dad's house, there's a dog who really likes to chew things. So we're all talking about, we probably don't want to have presents. Christmas tree over there because the dog's gonna chew everything, you know. And so so it partly comes from just, you know, how our lives are, that we're always looking at, well, you know, we don't have to do it the way we always did. We can't, because we're not the same family structure we used to be. So what would we like to be, you know, to have this be? And I was asking my son about it. He's like, you know, the whole tree thing, you know, he's like, I don't really care about all that stuff. I just, you know, like it when we're all hanging out together and doing games and things like that. And it's like by each of us looking at what we enjoy and what we want this to be, we're able to come up with something that works for the four of us.
That is so cool, Pam. What if every family did that? What if they were all willing, you know, to come?
You don't even have to split up to do that. You can just start that way.
Yeah, and one of the things you're talking about, and I know we cleared the projections, expectations, all that, but you're talking about letting go of the expectations of what it, both the utopian ideal and the expectations of, well, it was this way last year, so I can't do anything. I just have to resign myself for it being a disaster. And that's why I call this show The Ghost of Christmas Past. What if you don't? What if this could be the start of something totally different and totally new?
And it's just choice.
And it's just choice.
Just choose to.
Okay, so we better talk a little bit about it's just choice. Because a lot of people say, well, I can't because it will disappoint my mother and it will disappoint and it will do this and do that. So what if someone said to you, well, I can't choose for me because it's going to upset everybody else, what would you say?
Well, what I'd say is all those things that tell you you can't choose for you, it all has to do with the points of view you have, right? If you have the point of view, I can't upset my mother or I can't go against tradition. I remember when we were kids, at one point, like we had a basement area, family room, and then an upstairs living room, and Christmas had always been upstairs. And my parents just were like, what do you guys think of having the Christmas tree downstairs? And my sister wrote out a list of all the Christmas traditions that cannot change.
Wow.
So that's like, you know, this is how we have to do it. You know, all those points of view about we've done it this way and we have to do it this way, or someone, you know, someone will be disappointed, someone will be upset. All of that is points of view. If you use that access clearing statement, basically what that does is clear the charge off those points of view. And then it's just, you can actually look at what is and see different possibilities. You know, yeah, if you're buying into the idea of I can't disappoint anybody, then you're not going to be able to think of any possibilities that you've already decided would disappoint someone. If you...
Well, not only that, I'm going to interject something here, Pam. What that does is it, because you've talked about being the effect earlier, that makes you the effect of everyone else. And that's one way that people love to control you, is to tell you you can't change things.
Yeah. Well, and it also, it totally limits your ability to even see beyond any of that to something else that might be possible. It's like you're only, you know, there's only three things on the table that you can choose from. I can disappoint everybody. I can be a doormat. I can be miserable. You know, and it's like when you actually use these tools and start clearing the baggage that you're carrying around about all these things, you can go like, oh, you know, I never thought of this, but I, you know, if I choose and do it this way, that's actually going to work for everyone. It's like, mm-hmm. you can see different possibilities than you did before. And when I said it's a choice, it's like, to me, it's the choice to say, hey, I'm not going to go on autopilot.
Autopilot. Yes.
I'm not going to go along with everything I've decided this has to be. I'm going to use these tools and kind of unpack the baggage and ask myself some questions and see what else is possible this time that could be totally different.
You know, it's interesting because last year I was talking to my mom before I went down to Austin, and she said, I don't know what to get you and I don't need anything. I'm like, what if we just don't exchange physical presents, Mom? What if just being with each other is the sense of the spirit of the holidays? And it can take enormous pressure off of her because she was she couldn't go out. She doesn't have a car. She couldn't go out and buy anything. And she didn't really get how to do it online. And I'm like, this is crazy. Neither of us needs things, you know, and the relief in her voice was just like amazing. And we had an absolutely lovely Christmas. We really did. You know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and we did a few traditional things that we do. But we didn't worry about exchanging gifts. And with that off the table, we were both able to relax and not get into this, oh my gosh, am I getting the right thing, the wrong thing? What does she want? This is too complicated. I can't do it. You know, all of that kind of stuff. So, and the other funny thing about that is you may not be the only one in your family who wishes it were changed, but you may need to be the leader in this. suggesting something like what you said, Pam. Hey, what if we, all of the adults, not the kids, but what if all the adults just gave each other, drew names and gave each other a gift that wasn't over $50?
Yeah.
You know, what if we didn't have a tremendous meal Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and then cocktails in the afternoon and then all of that? What if we just, like, I remember one of the things that we did as a family for Christmas Eve when we were all alive and all together was we had a very simple what you'd call low country southern meal. We had gumbo and cornbread. Mm-hmm. And it was like we knew we were going to have this feast the next day. So let's just – and coleslaw. Let's have gumbo and cornbread and coleslaw and then, you know, and keep it simple. So, I mean, and it's not that there's one answer for each family. That's for everybody. It's like everyone has to come up with what works for them. But the point in all of this is to come up with something that actually works for you and to see if maybe there's anybody else in your family that actually could sort of – you could be the leader and they would be so relieved if you went with them.
Right. And it's not that you're coming up with the answer for you and that's how you're now going to do it every year. What if every year you ask yourself questions?
Yes.
Where am I with this? What's working for me? What's not working for me? And truly just asking yourself the question, what energy, space, and consciousness can I be that would create something totally different here?
Oh, I like that. And everything that doesn't allow that, right, wrong, good, bad, pock, puddle, and chores, boys, and beyonds. And with that, we are about at the end of our show. Next week, we're doing a show called, Perhaps I Overdid It, all about how easy it is to get into the excesses of the holidays, whether it's spending, eating, drinking, fighting, whatever it is. So we'll see you all next week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, and you have to go to our Facebook page and check out the really cute picture
with that title. Picture for that, yes. Theirreverenttherapist.com.